Among the many challenges to the smooth and safe operation of our computers and all the things we need them for is ransomware. Some people also call it scareware. It's all about scaring computer users into paying a ransom to be able to continue using their computers. Maybe you've had it happen to you. You click on something online and all of a sudden there's a screen in front of you saying your data is all locked up and you need to buy software or just pay a fine to be able to unlock it. It goes way beyond annoyance when ransomware makes big dollar demands of institutional computer systems like governments and hospitals. We'll talk to one of each in the minutes ahead. Mark Decker in the studio with me is the Chief Information Officer for Jackson County. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
On the phone, we have David Kennington, who's in a similar position. He's the Chief Technology and Information Security Officer at Asante Health System with hospitals in Medford, Grants Pass, and Ashland. David, welcome.
Thank you.
And George Chamberlain is with us as well, a special agent in charge at the FBI Portland office who has overseen national security functions for the FBI in Oregon, including the FBI Oregon Cyber Task Force. George, thank you for joining us.
Yep. Morning.
Let me start with Mark Decker. Give us a sense of how often you find people probing the IT infrastructure or attempting to insert malware of any type where you work.
Well, many times per minute. Fortunately, most of it gets rebuffed by our firewalls, but people are constantly probing and scanning computer networks, et cetera. It's been said that if you connect an unprotected computer to the network without a firewall, it'll be hacked within minutes.
And a firewall in this context means what?
Well, a firewall meaning a device that prevents connections from coming into your network that you don't want to come in. So certain types of traffic or trying to connect on certain ports, that kind of thing.
I thought you were going to say several times a day, several times a minute, you're saying.
Correct.
Wow. And so has that continued to escalate over recent years?
It's just an ever-present threat. They talk about the persistent threat because we're always under attack all the time and an attack could arrive at any moment.
David Kennington, I presume the situation is very similar to Asante Health System?
It is. Hospitals are a target and has been for quite a long time. And the favorite attack vector for us is email and trying to get our employees to click on something they shouldn't or click on a link or open attachment. And many times those have ransomware attached to it or other type of phishing malware. And so we are definitely under attack.
So let's talk about that. The email tends to be the way to get in. And what kinds of ploys are used to convince people that these are emails that they should be taking?
Well, the bad actors are getting creative. We've had a number of emails that have come into Asante purporting to be from our CEO or from our ITS help desk that telling folks that they, if it's coming from the service desk, that they need to log into this, click on this link and log in to change their password that's going to expire shortly. And if they don't, they'll lose access. And we've taken some precautions. We have a caution banner that we put on all email that comes into the Asante email system that originates outside of it. But even with that caution banner, sometimes people don't always stop and think about clicking on something or entering in their credentials where they shouldn't.
You got me a little scared now because I got the little warning yesterday to change my Windows password for the computers I use at SOU, and I did. I believe from having seen it before that it was the correct thing, and everything seems to be working. But how do you tell these things apart, Mark Decker?
Well, it is quite difficult because the hackers have gotten quite clever in their deception methods. They call this social engineering because they figured out how to engineer the human brain to trick us into doing things. It's just basically a confidence game. But we put all of our employees through security awareness training to teach them, what are the red flags to look for, certain things that can kind of tip you off that this is not a legitimate email.
We are talking about ransomware with Mark Decker, who's the Chief Information Officer at Jackson County, David Kennington, same position with Asante Health System, FBI Special Agent at Charge George Chamberlain from the Portland office. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760. Talk about ransomware you have experienced and things you've done to wiggle out of it or whether you paid a ransom. Don't forget, we only use first names here in the air. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. George Chamberlain, can you give us a broader view of the trends in ransomware regionally and nationally?
We've seen ransomware has been around for quite a long time, actually. It started, small personal computers going back more than a decade. And what we've seen recently is a movement towards targeted ransomware attacks where critical infrastructure, emergency services, healthcare, government administration offices are being targeted by organized criminal groups that seek larger payouts. So we've seen kind of an escalation in the game in ransomware recently, and that's hit Oregon as well. Oregon is certainly targeted, just like all the other 50 states in the country.
Is critical infrastructure targeted, particularly at not just government agencies, but also hospitals? Seen this happen with hospitals before. That's why one of the reasons we have David Kennington on, because they're presumed to have more money or something?
Yeah, hospitals, certainly. Emergency services, healthcare, the risks are greater, or the perceived risks are greater, and they would estimate that a hospital would would need to pay the ransom. So certainly we're going to target that in an effort to, speed up the ransom payment process. So that's certainly true.
Now, I noticed that there are various law enforcement warnings out there really urging people not to pay the ransom, but have some.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's a tough situation, Jeff. I mean, we would like to say don't pay the ransom because it enables the criminal activity, which it does. But this is a serious incident if you're not prepared for it, as the experts Mark and Dave can attest to, where literally the safe operation of if it's a hospital, your patients and your staff is at risk, or a company, a private sector company, it's their business operations may be hobbled by this. So yeah, it's a serious incident, and a lot of them opt to pay the ransom because the alternatives are not good.
So Mark Decker, when you've experienced some ransomware attacks at Jackson County.
Yeah, we had a small scale attack some years ago, I think 4 or 5 years ago, that was basically hit one PC in one department. And we believe it was because a user went to a malicious website, and that particular PC was infected and started encrypting not only that user's files, but everything on the department's shared drive. And so that one was pretty contained. It was limited to the one department and what that one user had access to, and we caught it relatively quickly. And so that department was down for about 6 hours, but we were able to recover from that pretty quickly. Nowadays, what we're seeing is much larger scale coordinated attacks and ransomware that's delivered via a worm that spreads throughout the network before detonating. So it doesn't just affect one PC, it affects all PCs.
So David Kennington, what kinds of things can you do to protect against those kinds of ransomware attacks?
Well, a couple of things, and Mark talked a little bit about it. We do have a robust education and training for our staff and even for our new employees that are coming in. We have the next generation firewall. We've got next generation email security. We've got, as Greg was mentioning, there's more targeted attacks. We've got target attack protection and. Some things that we also do here and folks at home can do is just make sure you keep your systems and your computers patched. Many of these ransomware attacks have been around for a while, and they exploit known vulnerabilities that if systems were patched, they wouldn't have been successful. And probably the biggest thing that folks could do is have the mindset that it's not if, but when, and so making sure that you've got your backups that you can restore, and make sure that you have your backups offline. Because, as Mark was saying, that these ransomware attacks they take a look at everything that's attached to the system or the network and start encrypting those, including your backups if those are accessible. So. Those are some of the things that we're doing here, DeSante.
So what I'm hearing is that it's not just falling upon the IT people like you guys, but it's also on the day-to-day users to make sure they maintain some hygiene. It sounds like when updates are offered Well, within some, why don't you go into the update realm, Mark Decker, and tell us what things we should be doing updates on when patches are offered, for example.
Sure, and it's a bit different in the enterprise environment because we've got a whole team of people who basically push those updates out to the users and make sure that all of our systems are patched as soon as security patches come out. So we can control that pretty well. In the personal realm, just on your personal computer, it's really important to have automatic updates turned on so that Windows and the software that you use can update themselves automatically. You don't want to be in a position where you forgot to do it, and that's the vulnerability that gets exploited.
But you see those ones, too, where it says, update your flash. Your flash is out of date. Now, that's one that often has some stuff with it, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's the tricky bit, of course, that you know the criminals have gotten really good at fooling people, and a lot of the scams that we see relate to computers. Like, you've got a virus on your PC, we'll help you clean it, and when you click the OK button, it installs a virus on your PC.
Ransomware, the topic here on the Jefferson Exchange. Mark Decker is the Chief Information Officer at Jackson County. David Kennington, Chief Information Security Officer at Asante Health System. George Chamberlain with the FBI and the Portland office. You can join the conversation on the Exchange. Phone calls and emails welcome at 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. So, George, how easy is it for the people who do these things to hide? I mean, do we even know where they are, who they are, anything about them like that?
It's cyber investigations are difficult. They go beyond our borders. So they're the partnerships are what become key. You know, partnerships with the private sector, with professionals like Mark and David, and then partnerships internationally as well. So some of these individuals are located overseas. So we work very closely with our international law enforcement partners. And to find them where we can, and the point is to identify and disrupt. You know, our mission is to protect American people, uphold the Constitution. So we work very, very closely with the private sector and with law enforcement agencies domestically and internationally to identify and disrupt the organized criminal groups and the nation state actors who are targeting American people and our institutions.
Okay, I think you answered my next question, organized crime and foreign governments, and yes, you're saying both are involved.
Yeah, both are involved. I mean, it's we call them cyber actors, but attribution is oftentimes very difficult. You know, it's not a quick investigation. Working internationally takes time. We have to be very, very certain before our role is to collect the facts and collect the evidence and then present that evidence to the U.S. Attorney's Office for prosecution. So we don't take that lightly. We have to work in the factual realm. So when we attribution for us often takes a while, and these investigations can be very difficult.
Well, I don't want to give anybody ideas, but it sounds like this is a business model with relatively low overhead and potentially high income. So, I mean, any figures on how much has been brought in through ransomware in the United States?
So, you want me to take this one?
Yeah, that's for you, George.
Okay. The exact damages with ransomware specifically are difficult to assess, and I'm not trying to dodge the question. It's that a lot of times ransoms are paid by individuals or enterprises without notifying law enforcement for the reasons I identified earlier. You know, there's pressing reasons to get back in business, and the ransom is just paid. So it's difficult to put a number on it. I would direct folks, your listeners, to there's an FBI flash report that we put out in mid-July that does contains some information, claims by one of the groups for how much they've made, and it's a very large sum. So yes, it can be lucrative for the criminal groups.
So for you guys in information technology, then trying to protect institutional systems, David Kennington, I'll start with you. It sounds like up to a point, this is like trying to put a fitted sheet on a bed. You get one corner nice and tight, then you got to pay attention to the other three.
Well, we take a layered approach to our protection. We call it defense in depth. We know that one solution isn't gonna stop these attacks, and so as I mentioned, that's why we have firewalls and virus protection, email security, the training. I have a comprehensive backup and disaster recovery solution, and so it What you hope is that, you know, a few of those layers may get exploited, but the others are going to secure us. And so so we take that that layered approach.
So, and then Mark Deckard, I noticed one of the recommendations that the FBI makes, among others from the FBI and other organizations, is to test your own systems. I mean, how often and how aggressively do you probe your own systems for vulnerabilities?
Yeah, that is an important point. And I would just add to something David said earlier about your backups. You also want to be testing your backups to make sure that you actually do have a good copy of your data. But in terms of testing our systems themselves, we do a variety of things. For example, we hire professional hackers to come in and attempt to hack our network and give us a detailed report on everything they found. And then we go in and look at those vulnerabilities and assess, you know, how much of a risk is this and that sort of thing. So it is a constant struggle, but we also use a defense in depth strategy. And so applying these many layers really helps. Another thing that helps is what we call tabletop exercises. So we sat down, I guess, about a month ago and with my team, and we walked through the exercise of, if we got hit with ransomware, what would we do? How would we recover? How would we react to the incident? That kind of thing.
Are there kinds of software that are built specifically to counter ransomware, or is that just an arms race that it's hard to get into because the ransomware people would adapt so fast?
Yeah, there are a variety. If you look at the IT market, there's dozens of companies that will sell you solutions that are designed to stop ransomware. But it's really a combination of those things. There are, for example, heuristic software that will look for patterns of behavior on a PC. If a PC is connecting to a place it doesn't normally connect, those kinds of things. So there's what they call next generation software that uses artificial intelligence to map these patterns and look for those. And then there's the traditional solutions, you know, the antivirus and anti-malware solutions, things like that.
I know there are occasional tests. We had one at Southern Oregon University's email system a few months ago, which kind of scared a few people. What I did first is I said, this doesn't sound like it came from the city of Medford Police. And so I emailed Medford City Police and said, is this you? And they said, no, it's not. So it turned out it was a test from our own IT department. How difficult is it to set up tests, though, where you're not tricking your people into doing the behaviors you don't want them to do?
Well, that's part of our training program. We also do that kind of what we call simulated phishing. And it's an important part of the training because without a way to practice the skills that you've learned, we teach people how to recognize, you know, phishing. But unless they've actually practiced those skills in the real world situation, you don't know that they really have a good grasp on it.
Ransomware, the topic here on the Jefferson Exchange. Mark Deckers with Jackson County. He's the Chief Information Officer, Chief Technology Officer. David Kennington, the same thing at Asante Health System. George Chamberlain from the FBI in Portland. George, is the FBI freely able to share information and concerns with the likes of Jackson County, with Asante Health System? Do national security concerns ever interfere? Are there things you can't tell them?
No, intelligence sharing is one of the cornerstones to actually get ahead of this threat, as David and Mark can attest to. So we've worked really hard with the FBI here to reach out to our private sector partners, engage with them, provide threat intelligence reporting. If there is a threat to their system and we become aware of it, we're going to reach out through programs like InfraGuard and a number of other partnership programs we have to ensure the intelligence gets, to the targeted organization. But the classification issue, we can even work around that. If there's sources of information that we need to protect, we have ways to make sure that the information gets to professionals like Mark and David so they can protect their systems.
Now, I noticed that things that get put up by the federal government about how to handle ransomware suggest contacting law enforcement immediately. Should the FBI be the first place, or should we start with local law enforcement? What's the appropriate level to head for?
Well, I think law enforcement has a role in the ransomware response. It is important to contact law enforcement, whether it be your local sheriff's department or the FBI. If it is a local sheriff's department, we're more than likely going to be contacted anyway. So either one. But the law enforcement is just one aspect of the response to this. We have a role. There is crimes being committed, federal crimes, state crimes. So we want to collect that evidence. We want to collect the facts and ensure that evidence is collected and the integrity of it is maintained to protect potential investigation and prosecution in the future. So that's really our role. We also provide threat intelligence during the response procedures to assist the corporation or the organization or whom they've hired to come in and help them remediate the situation. So I think calling law enforcement is important. If it's not your first call, it should be a phone number on your incident response plan to at least contact at some point within a short order.
I noticed one of the scareware screens, more than one, I'm sure, says, this is the FBI, your computer's been locked, click here to pay your fine. So even your name is getting used in vain in this.
Yeah, that's been around for a while, but that training that Mark and David are referring to is really important for people to realize that, that's part of the social engineering campaign.
David Kennington, particularly working at a health system, and where you watched WannaCry take out, paralyzed temporarily the National Health Service in England a few years ago. I mean, this must send some shivers up the spine of people in your line of work.
Oh, it absolutely does. It ransomware and phishing is the top concern that me and my team have. I think you alluded to it earlier. Hospitals, it's a little difficult to take care of patients that come to us when their medical record is locked and we don't have access to it. And so we work hard to ensure that that won't happen and protect our infrastructure and our systems that we have against these type of attacks.
Have you gotten used to seeing some of the types of ransomware? Are you getting pretty familiar with some of them? Go, oh yeah, I know this bug. I've seen it before.
Yeah, there's a number of the primary ones that are out there, but new variations are coming out. What's incredible is nowadays they've got ransomware kits that on the dark web that could be sold, and some mediocre hacker, if you will, can get their hands on it and use these targeted attacks. And so it is big business, and folks typically follow the money and will continue to use these as long as people are paying the ransom.
Right. So Mark Decker, it sounds like the best advice is if it looks funny, it probably is.
Yeah, trust your instincts. If it's suspicious, it's probably bad.
All right. Mark Decker, the Chief Information Officer at Jackson County. David Kennington, Chief Information Officer at Sante Health System. George Chamberlain, an FBI Special Agent in Charge of the Portland Office of the FBI. Thank you all for joining us to talk about ransomware on the Jefferson Exchange. Good to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. That'll do it for this segment of the Jefferson Exchange. Short break, back with Marketplace Tech, followed by this month's Underground History. Stay tuned.